What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everybody. It's January 20th. It's Kevin Scarrett, and we're back. Hi, Amy. How are you?
I am really good. Excited for the new year, although it's like kind of late to say new year now, I guess.
Yeah. But it is our first time back in front of the mics. The last episode we did was right before the holidays. So it's actually been, going on all a month now since we've done anything. So it feels like, I miss you, Amy.
I miss you too.
So, looks like we've got a lot to talk about. Thanks for sending over the upcoming podcasts and blogging schedule for your content girl you.
And
it looks like we got a lot of exciting stuff queued up, lots of topics for this quarter. We have some interesting brand ideas. We've got interviews lined up with a bunch of marketing professionals and exciting stuff.
I know. And I'm really looking forward to continuing our marketing mayhem spots at the end of our podcast. So for all you listeners, listen to the end of this one because we've got a bit of nonsense going on at the end.
I don't know what people were thinking in the 50s, but this is some funny stuff.
And I do have some queued up that are they're not even that old. Like they're more modern ones, but they're still ridiculous. So we can't even use the it's old excuse for it being stupid, right?
Right. Okay, so today we're talking about a process of selecting an archetype for your organization. Now, isn't that kind of what we've been talking about all along for the last 76 episodes? This is episode 77, by the way. Actually, no. We've kind of hinted at it. We've dropped the phrase brand discovery probably a dozen times, but we've never really gone into detail about what that is. So, in years past, before we really refined this brand discovery process into our current brainstorming and discovery session that we perform today for all of our clients, we still went through kind of similar steps back then. It was a little bit, clumsier. It was took much longer, but the end result was the same. The client picked their archetype. So this session today, we're going to be kind of walking through a lot of those steps and the ideas, but we're not gonna divulge everything. We're not gonna fully open the kimono, as they say, reveal everything. So
kimono.
You've never heard that phrase before.
I've heard you say it. It's just a visual phrase.
It is. It's exposing yourself,
right,
as it were, right?
Yep.
So a typical session with one of our clients would probably take about 90 minutes right now. Is that about right for you? That's about how long it takes me to get through this?
Yep, I think that's right. Yep.
Yeah, when I first started this 15, 18 years ago, however long it's been, I would spend 3-4 hours just on the initial parts, and then there would be follow-up sessions. It took a long time to get clients through this process, and things tightened up. And our current process is way, way better. And we're going to hint at probably a good 80-90% of what we do today.
So if
you've taken the questionnaire, and that's kind of a huge hint right there. If you haven't taken the questionnaire, go to brandarchetypes.com and do that, because that is absolutely step one before this
and it's free.
Process. And it's free. Yeah. Right. So, any comments about our process before we move along?
Well, I mean, to coin a different phrase, we're not going to be giving away the secret sauce, but yeah. We will, however, give you the enough direction that you can, you know, kind of understand what to do yourself. And any group should be able to do it themselves to the point where they're able to make a selection for sure. And that's the goal.
Yeah, a little creativity, a little thoughtfulness, a little just know that by kind of embracing the things that we're talking about today, you will get through it and you will be able to make a selection, and it's going to be pretty eye-opening for people who go through
it. Yeah, and we're not trying to be jerks about not like detailing it out step by step and giving you everything you need. It's just that, you know, this is one of the bread and butter things about our businesses. And like Kevin said, we've spent years refining this process and that kind of thing. And people do pay us to walk their groups through these things. And so we don't want to just give it all away. But that being said, I mean, we are always open to talking with people, helping them explain things, you know, that kind of thing. So if this really piques your interest after listening to this episode, give us a call and we can talk in more detail with you.
Sure. Fair enough. So, Amy, I said that the steps that we were doing at the early years of this process were roughly the same as they are now. And I say roughly because really, they really are only by name. They actually don't look anything like what we do now. But why don't you give us the big ideas of this process? And then once we kind of list the big brush strokes, we can dive into each one of them.
Sure. So each of our discovery sessions is broken up into four distinct areas. We start with identifying attributes, and this is digging deep into the nature of your organization. And then the second one is categorization. So we take those attributes that we identified in step one and we categorize them in specific categories. And then the third one is distillation. This is where we take our big list and refine each down to a single idea. And then the fourth one is, of course, selection. And this is the hardest part. It's where we evaluate all the data from the session combined with the results of your questionnaires, and we make a selection on which archetype will best suit you.
Right. And where I would say 90%-ish of people who go through the process with us are able to make their archetype decision in that session. So after an hour and a half, people are able to make the arc, and that is a big moment in a company's existence. That, you know, making an archetype selection to direct their overall corporate brand strategy—that is a big honking hairy deal. But the other 10% don't make the decision. So if you find that you've gone through this process and you feel like, well, there's a lot of struggle here, and maybe there shouldn't be all this struggle. Yeah, you're among friends. It's sometimes this process is not easy. But once you get through it, you'll be fine. Just trust us. Okay. So I'm going to start us out with step one. And you said that is called identifying the attributes. Well, people are probably thinking, well, what do you mean by attributes? Well, first let me say that there are any number of ways that an organization could identify attributes. And an attribute, so if I were to ask you, Amy, give me an attribute of yourself.
I am passionate.
Okay, so a descriptive word or a phrase or an idea, you know, probably try to keep these attributes down to two or three or four words at absolute most. Most of them, vast majority of them, are going to be single words, but they're ideas that describe an attribute of the organization or of, you know, of some aspect of the organization. So you could do polls of your employees, you could poll your clients, you could have brainstorming sessions where just people kind of dogpile on ideas, and you could have a company-wide meeting, you could task the effort of coming up with this list of ideas to a small group like a brand committee. There's just any number of ways that you could do this. The point is to come up with this list, to put deep thought into what is it about our company that's good, bad, or otherwise? What are all the different aspects, all the attributes? So so let's go a little bit more into this idea of what an attribute is. So Amy, pick two random people on the planet and compare their individual attributes. So you just said that you're passionate, right? Mm-hmm. If I were to pick a random person, let's say I pluck a person out of a city in Brazil, are you two going to be very similar or very different?
Yeah, I mean, probably different. I mean, people are very different. I mean, we might have similarities or similar interests, but everybody's very distinctly different.
Yeah, and especially when you consider those cultural differences, sure. Right? Mm-hmm. You're probably going to be hugely different. And even if you pick someone from Central Michigan, where you live, you're still not going to find someone who is identical to you, right? So if you were to compare the attributes of any two people, what you find is all 7.5 billion people on the planet, they are all unique in all the world. There are no two people that are identical in every way. Well, but we're not talking about people. We're talking about companies. So a listener might think, well, you know, that doesn't really seem applicable. Well, the lesson here is that all companies are just as unique from each other as any two people are different from each other. All companies are unique. Okay, so the goal here is to take a deep dive into the exploration process and to identify all of the organization's attributes, their characteristics, the pros and cons of who they are and what they're trying to be, their values, list out all their faults, their superpowers, you know, everything that you can come up with that describes who you are for any reason, no matter how small or how big. So for example, most businesses will say that they are, quote, professional, right? That's an easy one. But what about cutting edge or captivating or powerful? You know, I think you can see that we're going with this, right? So at the end of the session, your group should feel like they've explored ideas that have never been considered before. It should be, you know, there's not going to be these huge epiphanies where people look at what you're doing and say, wow, that was miraculous. You know, there are going to be some people who are pretty astounded by the overall process, but no single attribute should be a surprise to anybody, right? That's pretty straightforward when you look at the individual words and ideas, right? They should feel like there's deep, insightful, and meaningful ideas that have been uncovered, but there's probably very few surprises. The reason that almost all groups feel this way is because very few companies have ever gone through this kind of exercise. So if you go through this deep, deep analysis, most people, how they feel at the end is, ooh, wow, that was really interesting. That was really refreshing. I've never experienced anything like that before, especially if the group has been working for that company for like 20 years. That's where you get the most of this impact, is because they have been thinking about their own company, their employer, their, you know, the company that they own. They've been thinking about it the same way for decades, and yet here we come in and we throw this fresh perspective at them, right? Because most people just don't dive that deep. So now, today, we use a brainstorming session to get to this point. And in the process of our brainstorming session, and, you know, whether you use polls or, you know, interviews or whatever process you use, what we do is we'll have a whiteboard during the brainstorming session, and as people are throwing things out, we're capturing everything that's said, and we'll end up with usually around 75 to 150 attributes. I've had a couple of people or a couple of groups where their list ended up going over 200, 250. What's the biggest one you've ever had?
Wow, that's a really good question. I've never really counted the words, but yeah, I'd say your target's right on.
Yeah, I've had a couple people who were just weren't word people, and they struggled to come up with ideas.
Sure.
And you know, they had like 60 or 70 people. That's really on the low end, though.
Yeah.
So okay, so those are your attributes. The whole point of the first step is take a deep dive and start collecting what are the aspects of who you are, and you know, what are your qualities and what are your values, all that stuff. And once you get that big, big list, you're going to have, let's say it's what you're using a whiteboard, you're going to have 150 words on a whiteboard, and now you have to do something with them. What do we do next?
Ooh, Kevin, I love seeing all those magnificent words on that big whiteboard.
I bet you
it's
do.
It's my favorite thing.
And I tried to do one with pictures, but it didn't.
So. Right. Pictionary. Just for a little bit of a clarification, too, you know, we can also do this process remotely where we do it via Zoom and then we just like type the words on a shared screen. So we don't have to physically be in the same room, but it is fun to see all those words on that big whiteboard.
Yeah. And who doesn't like to draw on a whiteboard, right?
Right. Exactly. So the next step that we talked about is categorization. So like Kevin said, companies are as unique as individuals. And what I want you to do is spend the next couple of seconds thinking about someone who you're super close to, like a spouse, a parent, a child, a best friend. Okay? Got that person? All right.
Hold on.
So when you pick that person, you immediately get a picture of them in your head, right?
Right.
So, and you may have thought about an interaction with them. You might have thought about any number of things. But what you probably didn't do was start to list and think about that person as a bunch of attributes. Am I right?
Yeah,
because we don't think about people this way. We tend to think of ourselves as a single entity with a name, and we sum up all those parts into one idea. So if I were to start listing attributes for Kevin...
Oh, I picked you. No.
Oh, you did?
No, I picked Francine.
Oh, yeah. So I might jot down quirky, funny, unique, happy-go-lucky, bubbly. Would you agree with those kind of
things? Bubbly? Ooh, yeah. I like that. Yeah, okay. Okay. I'll take it.
All right. But I also might list like passionate, intense, energetic, right? Still on the right track. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And you know, I because I've done this, you know, 10,000 times, it seems like, I see where you're going with this. It's you've got two different lists going already.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, exactly. Ooh.
So hang on for people who haven't caught up yet. I got a big reveal here. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. So by categorization, what we intend to do is take our full list of all the attributes that we put on the board and start lumping them together into these logical groups. So the attributes in the first list with Kevin obviously belong together. Funny, bubbly, quirky. And the attributes in the second list go together, passionate, intense.
Right.
So, So after performing this hundreds of times, we have found that groups will break up their big list usually into 3 to 4 smaller groups. I've really never seen a group with only two, and I found it's like really muddying or confusing if the group adds like a fifth category.
Yeah, in fact, I say you're not allowed to add a fifth.
Right.
Just adding a fifth just does not help ever.
Yeah. And so your goal with this step is to end up with 3 to 4 groups of words where each has a distinct feel to it as you read through it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we now have our big group broken into 3 or 4 subgroups. So let's say we started out with 100 words on our first list. We have 4 groups. We might have one group with 10, another with 40, another with 30, and another with 20. You know, so they're going to be different sizes, right? And you might think to yourself, the group with 40 words and the one with 10, that the one with 40 is more important because you came up with more ideas. Sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not. So that is kind of the lead in to our next step. So step 3 is called distillation. So this is where we take each list of these sublists and we try to distill all of those ideas and the nuances and the subtleties into the most important idea. So again, let's use the first list that Amy made up for me. What'd you say? It was like quirky and funny.
Yeah,
unique,
happy-go-lucky,
and bubbly. Yeah, yeah, bubbly is on the list, right? Okay, so we take quirky, funny, unique, happy-go-lucky, bubbly. Okay, now, again, like I just said, this may have as many as 20, 30, 40 other words and phrases that are similar to these, you know, like smiling or, you know, zesty or
humorous.
It could there could be tons and tons of words and phrases on this list, but you're getting the idea, right? They all go together. So here's some considerations. If I were to distill this list into one idea, that's my goal, I could just pick one of the words off the list, right? So for example, I might say quirky. Even though quirky doesn't include all of the ideas and nuances as the word bubbly, I might think the word quirky is really the best way of describing that list for me, right? Or another option might be, I could come up with a word or idea or phrase that isn't on the list, and maybe it's an idea that should have been on the list to begin with, and that's okay, right? So I'm just adding a new word to the list, and then I'm using that one, right? But just really know that in this process of distilling, you are not going to be able to capture every single idea and nuance of every word or phrase on the list. It's impossible to do that. You're just trying to get the most important and the biggest single idea. So if you're able to do that, get one idea that embodies this list, write it down, and you've achieved your goal, right? So by the end of this distillation process, you will end up the same number of subgroups that you have, three or four, you're going to have three or four big ideas. Okay?
Okay, got it. And then the last step is selection. So this is now where you pull out your printouts of the results of the questionnaires. Mm-hmm. And remember, we also always suggest that if you are a solopreneur or really small company, that you don't just do this alone. You get either friends or your spouse or a client or somebody who knows a lot about your business to also take this questionnaire and possibly, you know, walk through this discovery session with you as well, because it's hard to do this in a vacuum by yourself. It's really nice to have other people's ideas. Yeah.
And it's really important that when, because we get this question all the time, if a solopreneur dives into a questionnaire, they may get caught off guard by hearing the words our team or your group or your company. Well, I'm not a company or a group or a team. I'm me, right? Well, yes and no. Structurally, yes, you are correct. But the reality is any solopreneur has vendors and channel partners and clients and family members who know everything about everything that they've ever done in their business. There are tons of people around you in your circle that aren't part of your company, but they are part of your circle, right? So yeah, you just have to realize that those are the people who you should be pulling into this process because they know you. They know who you are, what your goals are, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead.
No, that's cool. Yeah, so our questionnaire system will list the archetypes in order based on each person's answers. Mm-hmm. And it will also tabulate and list the 12 archetypes in order based on the entire group's results. So this is helpful for a couple reasons. One, you can see like commonalities between group members, and you can always identify the outliers. Those people that aren't, there's always one, like,
yeah,
one
Joe in accounting, man. Yeah. What is up with him?
right. That just means they're just not on the same page, or they think about your brand really differently, and you'll be able to see and discuss individual differences. And there's so much value in this. And oftentimes, because people haven't been thinking about their brand in this way, and they have a group of people that took the questionnaire, the answers can be all over the place, which makes sense because your brand has probably kind of been all over the place up until this point, which is what we're trying to change here. So, and it's good. It's just really good to see how other people's takes. It's just eye-opening.
Before you go to the next step, I really want to throw this in. And you would never get this perspective unless you do what we do this with lots and lots of people. If you're in the process of doing this for your own company, you won't see this. But if we were to go into a new client and they're in startup mode, and then the next day we go to a client that has 40 years of experience, and the average employment of each person in the group is like 15 years, the results are hugely different. And no surprise whatsoever, a startup group where they've never worked with each other before, their answers are all over the place. There's no time behind them. This company hasn't existed for very long. So really what they're drawing on is their own personal ideas about what the company is, not on actuality. We're the company that's 30, 40 years old. Yeah, their results are solidly based on the company. And everybody's on the same page and all their answers are really, really close. It's really fascinating to watch that happen. So,
yeah, that is so true. I never really thought about it that distinctly about that, but you're right. That happens almost every time.
Yeah.
All right. So although your goal is to select a single archetype, making the adoption of the archetype much easier.
Yep.
You may find yourself in a situation where you want to incorporate like two archetypes into your new brand, or you're like waffling between, should I be this one? Should I be that one? So in this special case, we recommend that you go back to past podcasts. We'll leave the links in the show notes to review the several ideas and processes we have to merge two of them together. It is possible. It definitely takes extra thought and consideration, but it is doable to do that.
Okay. So wow, this was, it seemed like this session was really, really fast, really short, because we know how truly intense and deep this process can be, and the meaning of it, and all the subtleties and nuance. There's no way that we covered everything today,
right,
by any stretch. But you know, if you work through it and you go through this step by step, where you do the attribute, you do your categorization, you do your distillation, you will find when you start comparing the questionnaire results to your attributes, it's going to be pretty obvious what's on the board in front of you. You're going to be able to see a list of the 12 basic archetypes and almost immediately eliminate 9 of the 12. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just immediately, 9 of the 12. Okay, so now you have a small group of people who you're talking about, okay, which of these three, or you know, two of the three. That's a much easier process. And I will guarantee you that you get down to that level. So yeah, it's all about getting yourself to make that final selection. Now, a couple of words of caution. Lots and lots of people will feel like, oh, this is super important, I could make a mistake. Actually, no, you can't. As long as you pick an attribute where you can say to yourself, yeah, I'm a little concerned about, you know, if this is gonna really do the job, but yeah, I could embrace that idea. If you can say that phrase, yeah, I can embrace that idea, well, then you're going to be able to run with that and create an awesome brand strategy based on that idea, because you can embrace it. So don't worry about perfection later. Don't worry about making a mistake. You can't make a mistake here. Your goal is to pick an archetype and pick one that you can embrace and run with it. And you're going to feel like you're leaving a lot on the table by picking this one archetype. You know, we've talked about this probably a dozen times inside past podcasts. If Nike were to pick an archetype, they would pick the hero. Pretty obvious to everybody, right, Amy?
Yep, absolutely. Yep. We use them as an example a lot.
Right. And if they were to pick the hero, they might think to themselves, well, you know, what about that whole concept of customer service? And, you know, that's inside the mother archetype. That's not inside the hero. That's not nowhere near the hero. Are we foregoing all ideas of customer service? And the answer is no. You're picking the archetype to steer and direct your brand strategy. You're not foregoing anything. You're just creating focus. Now, let me ask you, Amy, do you think Nike has successfully created a focus based on the hero?
Yeah.
Okay, so they have succeeded wildly in this concept, and trust that you will be able to do the exact same thing with as much power if you stay true to it. Okay, so that was a whirlwind review of our discovery process. Again, we didn't give away all of our secret sauce, but we hope it's helpful in giving you the guidance that you're going to need to take these crucial first steps. So, Amy, any other thoughts from you before you give us a wrap up and we get into some mayhem?
We have so much fun with these brand discovery sessions. I mean, if I could do these all day long, that's what I would do. They're so fun. And every client comes away with a much clearer picture of their brand and their message, which is the goal.
Yeah.
So if just for our listeners, if you've never thought about your brand on this deep level, we highly encourage you to give it a try. And if you feel like you need more guidance than we gave you in this podcast, again, call us. We can lead your group through it. It's one of the things we do, one of the services we provide. And we guarantee you'll learn something. It's a great team building exercise and a great way to make sure everyone is thinking about your brand in the same way. And as always, the first step in figuring out your brand is to take our free questionnaire at brandarchetypes.com.
Free questionnaire? It's free?
It's free!
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So a wrap up, get on over to brandarchetypes.com and dive in. And we've given you a lot to think about today and enough direction to select your archetype that's just right for your organization. And give us a call if you want some more help. And follow us on all the social medias at Brand Archetypes.
Woo-hoo. Okay, time for some mayhem.
So. All right. So I picked this one not because it's like bad or like misleading or whatever. It's just gross. Like,
it would be gross to me. It actually sounds pretty good.
No,
it does. Well, but it's weird. Okay, yeah. I'm gonna let you, because I know I'm gonna be doing the voiceover here. I'm gonna let you describe the visuals.
Okay, so this is an ad for 7-Up, like the pop or the soda, 7-Up. And first of all, there's like a baby, an infant, drinking out of a bottle of 7-Up, which is...
Right, straight from the bottle.
Yeah, right, which is a little horrifying.
No nipple, and, no. Just right. The mom sticking the bottle in the baby's face.
Yeah, and then... So that's an actual picture. And then there's like a cartoony picture of a little bit older kid and this mom pouring some 7-Up into this glass. But... just read the copy.
It says, a little trick that makes a treat, 7-Up in milk.
Ew!
Mix chilled 7-Up and cold milk in equal parts by pouring the 7-Up gently into the milk. Do not stir. The 7-Up adds a light and delicate flavor, making a delicious blended food drink. Mothers know that this is a wholesome combination. The addition of 7-Up makes milk a new flavor appeal that especially pleases children. Fresh up with 7-Up.
Fresh up with 7-Up.
But, you know, it's a wholesome combination. You know, feeding your child corn syrup in mass quantities is a good idea, because mothers know it's a wholesome combination.
If you were in a restaurant like now and you saw, I mean, this kid in this picture is an infant, like not even walking yet.
Right, right.
And if you saw somebody tip a giant pop bottle into a baby's mouth like that,
what are you doing?
Like, that's so crazy.
I don't know. What time frame? What do you think this was? Probably like 60s?
Yeah.
It's just the graphics look very, very 60s, 70s.
It's so funny. We've come a long way with nutrition, I think.
I don't know. We will probably have our ideas being brought up on a podcast 50 years from now, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Amy, all right. We're back on track, and we will talk to you here shortly.
Sounds good, okay. Kevin. Freshen up with 7-Up.
Okay, have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.